是生前我的人能听生前的去吗可能听下一步不好风雪的泡沫在冰冷的灯让你生产着慢慢的生死所破卖Throughout the weekend festival, large crowds continued to come for Prabhupada's morning and evening lectures. Prabhupada would chant prayers from Brahma Samhita and then lecture in Hindi. Not only did the citizens of Jaipur honor Prabhupada,But they honored his disciples also. Here, more than in most other Indian cities, the devotees were treated not as foreigners or outsiders, but as sadhus. This whole city is made of devotees of Radha Govindaji, Prabhupada commented.The police chief who visited often was cordial and respectful. As Prabhupada and his disciples went from place to place in Jaipur during the day, policemen would salute them, halting traffic to let them pass. People invited Srila Prabhupada to their homes, and they treated him like a king.Prabhupada had also asked several women devotees to carefully observe the deity worship in Jaipur. They informed him that they had observed that every night the deities were dressed in night clothes and that the clothes were also changed at two other times in the morning and in the afternoon.The woman told Prabhupada how a priest offered the deities scented oils on cotton sticks which the priest would later offer along with flower garlands from the deities to the incoming worshippers in exchange for fresh garlands. These devotional practices were standard.Prabhupada said, and could be introduced throughout Islam. Each evening, Prabhupada spoke at the pandal, and often a respectable Jaipur citizen would introduce him. When the queen of Jaipur introduced him one evening,She expressed her devotional sentiments for Prabhupada and his movement. After lecturing each evening, Prabhupada would stay for a slideshow of Islam's activities around the world. One night during the slideshow, Srila Prabhupada called to Mahakrishna over beside his Vyasa son.Taking sannyas will be difficult now, he said softly. Your wife will suffer too much. He sat back a moment while Tamakrishna took in what he had said. Then Tamakrishna leaned forward and said with determination.One way or another, Srila Prabhupada, she's going to suffer. Either she'll suffer now when I take sannyas, or if I take sannyas later on, she will be just as unhappy. There will never be a time when she'll want me to. So since the feeling is going to be the same, it might as well come now. Free me. She'll get over it.Prabhupada said no more, but he remained thoughtful. Later that night, after the pandal program, he called for his sannyasi disciples. Subhava, Manavesa, Gargamuni, and Devananda, and before his personal secretary, Shyam Sundar. Gathering them together along with Tamal Krishna, he said, Tamal Krishna wants to take sannyas, so what is your opinion? Should he take or not? Everyone agreed he should. Finally, Prabhupada consented. You will have to prepare things, he said. Things are prepared already, Tamal Krishna said. Then, said Prabhupada, tomorrow morning we must have the ceremony. The next morning, Prabhupada performed a special ceremony in the pandal, lighting the sacrificial fire and offering Tamal Krishna the sannyasi danda. The women were angry with Tamal Krishna, but it was too late. After the ceremony, Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj to his room. You have given up a very good wife and a high position. Therefore, I am giving you the title Goswami. Now you have to be in the same mood as the Goswamis, being able to preach all over the world and accept the disciples. Suddenly, Prabhupada began to laugh. I have been testing you, he said, to see whether or not you were determined. So what will you do? I thought I would go with my danda, said Tamal Krishna Goswami, and without anybody else, simply wander from city to city in India and preach about Krishna without any vehicle or anything, just like Lord Chaitanya did. Very good, Prabhupada said. Tamal Krishna Maharaj offered obeisances and walked out. Scarcely an hour later, however, Prabhupada called him back. This is not a very good proposal, he said. If you want to do something, you should have some assistance and facilities at your disposal. Prabhupada then assigned a couple of brahmacharis to go with Tamal Krishna Maharaj for preaching. He also gave his new sannyasi his first assignment. Immediately after Jaipur, Prabhupada was planning to go to a festival in Nairobi, Africa. Yet in Ahmedabad, another program awaited him. You go on my behalf to Ahmedabad, said Prabhupada. At Tamal Krishna Goswami's sannyas initiation, Srila Prabhupada had given him the sannyas mantra, a verse that describes the surrendered devotional attitude of the Vaishnava sannyasi. Vaishnava sannyas emphasizes engaging one's body, mind and words in ecstatic service to Krishna, as distinguished from the sannyas of the impersonalists who speculate on Brahman or sit alone in silent meditation. Vaishnava sannyasi, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, crosses the ocean of nescience and brings others across with him. As Srila Prabhupada was demonstrating, a Vaishnava sannyasi should travel all over the world, working with all his might to reclaim the fallen souls on behalf of Lord Krishna. Vaishnava sannyasi meant coming to places like Jaipur and preaching. It meant worshipping Govindaji in the temple, and it meant sending Radha Govinda to be worshipped by the devotees in India. for the higher purpose of sannyas. Srila Prabhupada further beyond the Varnashram designation of sannyas was nevertheless the best sannyasi and the creator of many other sannyasis whom he instructed to follow in his footsteps. He said the sannyasis should do even more than he, make more followers, publish more books, and establish more ISKCON centers. So then Bombay, January 24, 1972. Yes, it is in Mayfair. On returning to Bombay, Prabhupada was disappointed to find that the devotees had neither paid Mr. M nor moved to Juno. Madhavesa Swami, whom Prabhupada had put in charge, frankly admitted his inability to accept the responsibility for such a difficult project. The disciple Prabhupada had originally deputed to handle such affairs was Tamakrishna Maharaj. But now he had taken sannyas, he had renounced his GDC duties for traveling and preaching, and Prabhupada was without a manager for Bombay. Although Prabhupada was doing most of the managing, but he couldn't do everything, he couldn't stay constantly in Bombay. Searching for a veteran disciple to manage in Juno, Prabhupada thought of Brahmananda Swami, who was still preaching in Nairobi. Prabhupada decided to fly to Africa and invite Brahmananda Swami to come and manage Bombay. He wanted to act swiftly so that ISKCON could take possession of the land. Even if Mr. M changed his mind later, once the devotees were living on the land, getting them to leave would be very difficult for him. Srila Prabhupada planned to fly to Nairobi immediately, and he wanted to carry large Radha Krishna deities with him. The deities he had previously sent to Nairobi had been broken in shipping, so this time Prabhupada brought with him strong-bodied Madhavesa Swami to carry the 36-inch marble deities. With special permission from the airlines, Prabhupada boarded, followed by Madhavesa Swami, who held in his arms the 100-pound deity of Krishna. After setting Krishna in place before Prabhupada's seat, Madhavesa Swami left the plane and came back carrying Radharani. Prabhupada passed most of the flight in debating with Madhavesa Swami and took the position of the impersonalist. Prabhupada was always defeated. This is how you become a preacher, Prabhupada said. You must be able to take both sides of the argument and defeat your adversary. That is what Lord Chaitanya will do. Yeah. the Middle Land, which is like bedtime, maybe about 10 minutes walk right into the city of Nairobi. And now the city is extended, and practically our town is like part of the city now. See? So Srila Prabhupada took this Radha and Krishna deities with Madhuji, so when Brahmananda was from when Brahmananda Swami was there, yeah. And he placed him in a small makeshift temple made of what do you call this like a tin roof, pine metal roof. I'm doing similar things here, practically a shack. Yeah. And when he placed them there, he actually installed deities. And he named them like Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari here. And he named them Shishi Radha Mukunti Bihari. Beautiful deities. Yes. And it is the only Srimati Radharani in Islam that is not of this whitest kind of color in Mala. It is actually a blue gold, chocolate beige type of gold. It's beautiful beaches. How many of you have been to Nairobi? You see the Radharani is looking a bit golden, not like whitish. It's a very beautiful, very nice, beautiful area. So Srila Prabhupada placed them in this sort of shack. And he said, I will build you a temple. And the same thing there that Srila Prabhupada gave instruction that, you know, one should also install later on the Sishi Sivanam Lakshman Hanuman. And later on in the day, they heard that Srila Prabhupada said, even from Nairobi, you also must install Sishi Sivanam Lakshman Hanuman. And that has happened also. So for many years, with great struggle, many devotees were trying to build the temple there. But in North Africa, it cannot be that easy. And at the same time, you know, some of the wealthiest Gujarati Indians, they live in Nairobi. And Srila Prabhupada said something to the effect that the British went all over the world to conquer the land. The Indians go all over the world to conquer the wealth. It's true. So, one devotee about 30 years ago, his name is Omar Patekuno. He's originally from Allahabad. He joined a Mirabad temple. So he was requested by his holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami at that time to please go to Nairobi and Prabhupada borrow these deities from Sri Sri Radha Bhakti Bihari and you have to do something. So the first thing he did was became permanent residents and now he has an East African passport. So it's easier. So he is one of the most expert devotees. And he built this beautiful temple. And the devotees and the Dhammapurana and the devotees. Beautiful temple in Nairobi. Most beautiful temple. And it's like very pleasing to Sri Sri Radha Bhakti Bihari. Most pleasing. And not only that, he bought all the property around for almost $10 million. And around the temple. Apartments, land. And what an empowered person. So I asked him how you did this. He said, no, I just sit in the temple and I chant Hare Krishna. And he lives very simply in one little room. him and his wife, feeling one of the sons over 60 years of age, and he chants well over 40 rounds of japa daily, sometimes up to 64 rounds. And he goes on also to cultivate people. Srila Prabhupada wanted this, so I have to do it, and he did. So Srila Prabhupada, he was in great anxiety and went from jungle. And he himself could have stayed here, according to Rajasthan. He could have stayed in Bombay, and he could have sorted out those challenges faced with Sam. But when he came from Jaipur, he immediately went to Nairobi to request Brahmananda Swami to come and help the situation. Now, it's a little bit different because Srila Prabhupada is from India. He knows how to deal with everyone. But he's just focused on his foreign body disciples to do the service that's necessary here. It's necessary. So one time his holiness Ramakrishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, why don't you engage some local body Indian people to sort out the situation here? We have so many supporters and so forth. Srila Prabhupada said, you all trust me. Therefore, it's a mutual reciprocation that I trust you. So therefore, I want you to do this, because I trust you. And Ramakrishna Goswami replied, what Srila Prabhupada, we don't know how to deal with India. We may get cheated. Srila Prabhupada said, that it may be, but I trust you. That may be, but I trust you. So this is the main thing. The disciples trust the spiritual master, and the spiritual master trusts us, the 700 disciples. It's the main thing. And we see in another situation, the same thing happened. And Srila Prabhupada is from Bengal. But he had been trying, repeated attempts, he had been trying to secure land in Mayapur. But every time he tried to secure, there were challenges and so forth. He couldn't get land. So eventually, he sent Tamarajan Goswami and another devotee, practically in the dead of night, to secure the land in Mayapur. And they came back and Prabhupada was not taking rest in the Calcutta temple. He was waiting for them to come back. So when they came back very late in the night, they entered Prabhupada's room, and Tamarajan Goswami just explained to Prabhupada, the land is yours. Srila Prabhupada himself was having difficulty to get the land, but he required a foreign body of American disciples, who were successful in getting the land. So this is Srila Prabhupada's ingenuity, that he engages everyone despite success or failure. He engages everyone in the devotional service of the Lord. So later on, I read one letter written by Tamakrishna Goswami to Srila Prabhupada. See, and he quoted in the letter to another godmother that Srila Prabhupada said that I insult Shishi Radha Rasi Bihari, I'm paraphrasing in the principle of the minister, that I installed Shishi Radha Rasi Bihari here in Hare Krishna Manjuna and just placed him in the jungle or something like that. shocked and living. Death. And then Srila Prabhupada said, I brought much anxiety to Srila Rasa Bihari. I gave them so much anxiety that I brought them here, but I couldn't give them a decent home to stay in. And I brought so much anxiety onto my own Srila Prabhupada. That was Prabhupada's feeling. And he said something to the effect, when Maharashtra Swami was explaining this, he said that the Prabhupada passed that anxiety on to us, so that we could do the service of, because most people, practically in real estate terms and in India, or even in the world, this is the most valuable temple, even literally speaking in real estate, this is the most valuable temple in the world. Even if you take those few acres of property across the buildings, it will be much more in value than all 650 acres of land in my world that we have, as in the whole real estate. It's a wonderful, amazing project that Sri Prabhupada himself took on anxiety and gave anxiety in one sense because of his intimate relationship with Sri Srivada Rasa Bihari. Okay, so we must let the Lord of the Nature share something with us. Please. Microphone.
Thank you, Raj, for your class. Very nice. I have these events we were discussing. The first one was in Jaipur. And witnessed firsthand Swami Krishna Goswami's determination. It takes some months. Most often, in fact, every time he would be sitting right in front of Prabhupada or very close to his side during darshans. But when he was expressing his determination to take sannyas, he would sit by the door in the back. This is his way of showing that he was determined. That was a very wonderful time with the Queen hosting Srila Prabhupada in Jaipur. We would take Mahaprasadam every day at the site of the temple, Paribhavanshi Temple. I always remember Srila Prabhupada singing Paramasamhita before the Pango every night. His voice would echo throughout the whole palace grounds. Very beautiful. And then, of course, Jehu, that's a long history. Waiting very eagerly for Gilgal Swami's book to come out. You know when that's due?
Well, the last message was that the manuscripts are complete for the entire episode. It's in several volumes, probably up to 3 million now. Several volumes. It's a very English thing. So I think now it's just editing and getting into publication, so I don't know the exact time frame for this. But in our own means, one of the famous ones is a kind of perfectionist. He doesn't let it go until he's properly satisfied. I think that's how it is. That's his consciousness. So one of his main editors is Kalachandji Prabhu, who is a Tamarasana Swami younger brother. He's an English professor, so he needs set initiation from his own scanner as well. So they're working quite English. So that's one of the main reasons why he's not coming to India, because he has more facilities set up for them. differences meaning for us. So it's something that's all there. And hopefully, we'll get some useful out of it. Maybe the first book we need to print or something. So that's a big problem, something for me. Not sure the problem of it. And then try to see these.
I was in ISKCON during the last 4 years of Srila Prabhupada's life. January 1974 until the end of 77, I had some opportunities to associate with Srila Prabhupada in America and Canada. At the time there wasn't a biography of Srila Prabhupada published, so we didn't know all that much about his life. We had heard that he was a householder. We knew that he had a pharmaceutical business as a householder.
I'm telling one memory, when
Srila Prabhupada was visiting a temple in Texas, the Dallas Temple. One summer, we were also visiting that temple, our traveling Sankirtan party. And it was one of the first times that I got to see Srila Prabhupada come and go between his room and the temple. I remember thinking of him as a person who had lived as a householder. He was now a sannyasi preaching around the world. But at the same time, in my mind, I was thinking, well, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, Prabhupada was living in India, and he had a pharmaceutical business. He had a family. And now he's with us in North America. He's renounced. One evening after we had darshan in the garden, for several nights we had darshan with Srila Prabhupada in the garden.
This is enormous.
And one evening he was going to speak with a disciple. Some disciple had asked to just meet him and talk with him. And it was a summer day, a very hot day. In the evening it was still hot. This was after dark. It was still hot. And they met outside there were some steps going up to the building on the side. And they sat on the landing at the top of the steps in two chairs, you know. And because it was very hot, Srila Prabhupada had someone bring a bucket of cold water. And they poured the cold water on the concrete landing so that the heat from the concrete would stop rising off the concrete. It would cool down the concrete and they could sit there and it would be a little cooler. When they talked, I remember that. And I was standing below the steps. I wanted to kind of watch Srila Prabhupada talk to this devotee. I wasn't really close enough to hear. I just kind of wanted to watch him. And out of the corner of his eyes, he saw someone was down there. He didn't really look my way, but he just raised his hands like that. And I could understand he was asking me, you know, could you kindly go away? This is a private conversation. So this differentiates us, it makes us different from Mayavad Sanyas. See, Mayavad Sanyas means we give up to something or not, so to speak, and being false and being away from people and so on. But the elevation of Sanyas makes us the whole world as his family. His sky is his own friend.
Jesus' funeral and his mention of sin, yes. So then my friends asked someone else. And then someone else in Nancy also adopts children, adopts mourning children. On behalf of the Supreme Truth Islam King of God and then the Discipline Succession. And then one of my very close friends asked me, will you accept disciples in the future? I said, no. So that's why. I said, the sannyasi is the father of all ashrams. So he's also the father of the Buddhist and Mantras, ancient Hindus. And the sannyasi is also seen as a guru of the Hindus. Can you understand me? So therefore it does not necessitate us to accept disciples by initiating them. So those who initiate disciples, especially in our movement, should be more the Mahaprasthas and the Buddhistas, because most of our devotees are in the practical ashrams, especially in the ashrams. So it's more appropriate for them to have them according to the experience, realization, and wisdom in their own ashrams that they were before. So therefore the sannyasi is kind of free to move around and give whatever spiritual advice from whatever it's not to these other initiating gurus who are in the Buddhist and Mahaprastha ashram. That should be the future for our movement. Because in Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear, it says that sentient person for whatever it's not is above feelings of possessiveness, above. Now when you initiate disciples, there's definitely feelings of possessiveness. There must be. This is my guru, my disciple. So that feelings of possessiveness can be for the rest of the world. So the sannyasi is above feelings of possessiveness, then you can help those who are initiating disciples, the Sangha. Because sometimes as initiating gurus, it's pretty lonely on the top. And so you need some friendship and you need some mutual association. So that was my kind of moment of realization. So now, sannyasi and iskcon, way back, almost 9 years ago. Sannyasi is free from hankering and lamenting. It's what you deem it consciously. For them it's what we try to be like them. Is it all right?